Blog Talk Radio.
Shabbat Shalom. This is Fundamentally Mormon with the Mormon Fundamentalist, Mark Lichtenwalter. I am your host for this program tonight. We are finishing off part two of the Bible and the Tax Man. And then if we don't have any phone call or any guest call and whatever, we'll... I'm probably just going to read Rob K's Mormon Yeshiva post. His most recent post was posted, on the 5th, a few days ago, 5th of June. It is the 9th day of June, and it is Shabbat. Shabbat is something that the Jews keep. It is what the Gentiles call the Sabbath. And Joseph Smith, in the Times and Seasons in Kirtland, Ohio, produced an article, and in that article he said, and this was October of 1831, that we should rest on Saturdays, for it is the Sabbath of the Lord, and that we should not do our work, do any work on the Sabbath. Anyway, but that teaching seems to have been lost among Mormon fundamentalists and mainstream Mormon. Although the Strangites, so when there was a break off in Nauvoo between all the different all these different people that claimed authority, after Joseph died, there was a group that followed James Strang, and James Strang claimed to have received a revelations, thus saith the Lord, revelations, and one of the translations which he did, which I find interesting, is the Law of the Lord, which was the brass plates, and it was supposedly given to him by Moroni. You can actually look that book up on a PDF online by typing in Strangites or James Strang and finding their website. Their church is called the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and they are headquartered in Wisconsin. Anyway, the guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. And we're just going to get into finishing off the reading of the Bible and the Tax Man by Ogden Kraut. Once again, like I said, after we finish reading that, if we don't have any callers calling in, we're just going to read Rob K's book. So I don't work tonight because I take Friday night from evening to Saturday night for evening off as the Sabbath, I don't believe that the Sabbath was ever done away with. It's the fourth commandment. God doesn't change. I'm not going to get onto that in this program, but if you want to check out my posts and my article and my videos, I actually have a YouTube channel. You can find that by going to youtube.com/user/ God is my compass, or just searching Messiah Ben Joseph, and you can find me on YouTube. I did a playlist called The True Sabbath. It is three videos, and it is exactly 3 hours and 33 minutes long. So anyway, but continuing, let me just check the studio real quick to make sure we don't have any callers. No, we don't have any callers tonight. That's fine. It's actually 12:34 in the morning on Saturday morning. So like I said, I usually drive trucks at night. I'm a semi-truck driver, and I deliver coal from the coal mines to the power plants in central Utah, which provides power for Southern California. And I'm off tonight because I observe the true Shabbat of Yehovah. So let's just see here. Let me pull up the rest of this article. Let's just get right into the reading. The prosecuting attorneys were the best that money could buy, so of course conviction was almost a certainty. Thus, they managed to get a conviction against Messiah, or Jesus, Yeshua, as that's his true Hebrew name. There's no J sound in the Hebrew alphabet. That comes from the transliteration of this Hebrew name, which was Yeshua, not Jesus. And I had a bishop argue with me about this one time, and I was like, I learned this by reading it on, I think it was like page 35 or 37 or 38, somewhere around there, of Jesus the Christ, written by James Talmage, who was an apostle in the mainstream Mormon church, where he admitted that that Jesus' name was Yehoshua, or the shortened form of Yehoshua is Yeshua, which means Jehovah saves, or he shall save his people from their sins. And in fact, in the Hebrew Matthew, Gabriel tells Yosef, his stepfather, Jesus's or Yeshua's stepfather, that you shall call him Yeshua or Yeshia. And that means he shall save his people from their sins. His name is awesome. Jesus in Hebrew doesn't mean anything. But Yeshua, it means a lot. And the Hebrew prophets, all of their names mean things. My name, Mark Witzenwalter, it's a German name, but it actually means warrior light in the forest. Or I've heard some Germans say warrior light in the darkness. Maybe they're considering that the forests in Germany are dark. I don't know. I think that my family name probably comes from old family members that may have had a bar or an inn out in the darkness, and I bet that they would put a candlelight out there, out in the forests of Germany, where people would see the light in the darkness and they would go to it. But regardless of all that, let's just get off my little tangent here. So in the name of justice and by the due process of law, they legally nailed him to the cross. Two professional thieves were hanging on the cross nearby, and one of them retorted, "We receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." Luke chapter 23, verse 41. Can I just say something? So I am a prophet. I have seen Jesus Christ, or Yeshua HaMashiach, and our Father in heaven face to face, and have spoken with them face to face, and embraced them both in the flesh. They are not spirit. When it says God is a spirit, yeah, the Holy Ghost is a spirit, or was a spirit, but God has a spirit within a resurrected body. But they have resurrected, both of them, bodies of flesh. You know, Jehovah sat down with Abraham and had a meal with him. And Jacob, or Yaakov, who became Israel, he wrestled with Jehovah. You know, I don't know why that's such a hard thing for people to understand. Moshe, or Moses, saw God face to face. And I have seen God face to face as well. In the flesh, in the light of the noonday sun, and had his physical hands upon my head. And I know that he lives. The reason why I'm telling you this is not to bring glory to myself or anything like that. Part of my job is being a witness, but part of my job is also teaching the people. Teaching they who have been weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. That is a huge portion of what I have been called to do in these latter days, mostly among the tribes of Ephraim, but also to the rest of the tribes and through the whole world. Rabbi Kadori, which was 106 when he died, he said that I would come right after Ariel Sharon died, and that I would use the media to speak to my people. And I'm here. And I didn't even know that prophecy existed, but it's interesting because my first radio program was The Kingdom of God or Nothing. And I started that in January of 2014, the same month that Ariel Sharon died, thus fulfilling the prophecy of Rabbi Kadori, who also is an eyewitness of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Part of being a prophet is, well, God is no respecter of persons, right? And he will give revelation to anybody who will come to him if they will just work it out with him, right? If they actually are serious and they are very serious about getting revelation and studying his word, he will give them more and more as they turn to him more and more. The more time you spend with God, the more time he will spend with you. Now, why am I talking about this when we were talking about the two thieves? Because when I was asking Heavenly Father about the good thief on the cross, the one that Jesus said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise," I was shown his life. I was shown the life of that servant of Yeshua and how his life had led him to becoming a thief on the roads and the byways and highways of Judea. And that he had done some things that were worthy of capital punishment. And he knew it. And they were looking for him. And as he was out there in the wilderness of Judea, he came upon a crowd of people where Yeshua was speaking. And he heard Yeshua teach truth from Jehovah to the people. And he was a convert of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. And when he knew that Yeshua was going to be put to death on the cross, he allowed himself to be captured, intentionally going to the cross with Jesus. He had been baptized and he had accepted Yeshua as his Redeemer, his Lord, Savior, and Messiah. And that's why Jesus, or Yeshua, said, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Luke chapter 23, verse 41. It appeared that the thief was only an honest man in the crowd. He wasn't exactly honest, but he repented. He was forgiven of his sins through the atoning blood sacrifice of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, our Messiah. The conspiracy was culminated in the death of Messiah. Those who had part in throwing the book at Jesus or Yeshua did it knowing that it was morally wrong, even if they thought they had some legal rights. And see, what happened to Yeshua, though it was against the Talmud for them to hold, to have the Sanhedrin come together at night to hold a trial in secret. Like what they did to kill Yeshua was completely against Jewish law. So it wasn't legal. They had no legal rights. Paul, or Shaul the Apostle, rebuked them later for that crime, wishing they had done it through ignorance. Acts chapter 3, verse 17. But they did it with their eyes wide open. And you know what's really, really sick? They have found a Caiaphas tomb, the one who was the high priest of Judea at the time of Jesus Christ's crucifixion. And he had coins on his eyes and in his mouth that were Roman coins. And why? Because he wasn't really a follower of Jehovah and the Torah and the Talmud and the Mishnah and the Tanakh, you know. He was a pagan person placed in an important place in the Judean Hebrew society, the Jewish society. Just like King Herod wasn't really a Jew, you know. The devil's placed his plants in places, you know, and these people, they look at Caiaphas as the high priest, and they look at King Herod as their leaders. It's the devil's way of getting his claws into the kingdom, and he still does that today. He's done that in our world today. Anyway, continuing on the line, let's see here. The last living apostle of Yeshua was Yochanan the Beloved, or John the Beloved, who beheld in vision a great beast who would arise having control over all the earth. Now this beast would represent something that would have total control over the people of the earth, small and great, rich and poor, bond and free, and everyone would receive a number of a beast. And no one could buy or sell without that number. It's actually a name. It's interesting because in the earliest codexes of the Book of Revelation, it looks kind of like the Greek for 666, but there's other markings around that word which would not have been understood at the time. But when Muhammad came around and started writing about Allah, the codexes, so they have two different ways. They have the papyrus scrolls and they have these codexes, which are like paper books bound together. And the earliest codexes of the Book of Revelation has the name for Allah as the name of the beast. And who's the false prophet? Muhammad. Very interesting research on YouTube about that for anybody who wants to go check it out. Allah is the beast and the false prophet is Muhammad. John didn't give a name to that numbering system, nor did he speak favorably of it, but he certainly described the social security number and all that follows. In those days, will the bulk of all the major prophecies of the Bible be fulfilled? Conclusion. 35 centuries ago, Moshe, or Moses, wrote, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." The founding fathers of our nation also inscribed it on the Liberty Bell, but shortly after, the bell suffered a fracture, but it was appropriate because liberty did too. What freedom were these ancient and modern men fighting for? What liberty was more precious than life? Think for a moment. It has always been freedom from oppressive governments, foreign or domestic. Free people are always happy people, but a people in bondage, physical or financial, are miserable. See, and that's why Messiah ben Yosef comes to deliver the people from Babylon the Great. That's what messiahs do. Cyrus was called the Messiah. He delivered the people in Babylon, the Jewish people, from the bondage of Babylon in that day. Yeshua HaMashiach was also a Messiah, an anointed of the Lord. He delivered the people from the bondage of death and hell. The man like unto Moses, who Moroni said had not yet come, when he's talking to Joseph Smith, Joseph Smith History, verse 40, said that man, the man of Acts chapter 3, I think 23 and 24, anyway, he said that man was Messiah, but the day had not yet come when he would be rejected by his people. And that was talking about the man like unto Moses, who in section 105, Jesus says, "I will send the man like unto Moses, and he will redeem Zion with power." what is this that he's talking about? Jesus says he's going to send a man like unto Moses, and Moroni says, that man like unto Moses is Messiah, but the day had not yet come when he would be rejected by his people. That's talking about Messiah ben Yosef, not Joseph Smith. I know a lot of people think that Joseph Smith, but in the Talmud, we know that Messiah ben Yosef is killed and then resurrected by Messiah ben David, or Messiah ben Judah, and that he would raise up an army, and that he would be killed in war. So anyway, there's a lot of interesting stuff about Messiah ben Yosef. In fact, I urge people, anybody, to take a look at the Final Prophet video that I did, which talks about the Dead Sea Scrolls, and which talks about this Final Prophet. And also, check out what the Jews have to say about Messiah ben Yosef. So, because they expect two messiahs. Everybody back in the day of Judah, in the time of Yeshua, they were looking for the Davidic king to come as a conquering king. But they got the suffering servant. They got the teacher. They didn't get the warrior. So, and just like King David had too much blood on his hands to actually build the temple, so too will Messiah ben Yosef and Ephraim have too much blood on his hands to usher in the kingdom, but he will prepare the people so that it will happen when Yeshua returns. Anyway, continuing. I just got to say this also, one thing to the Jews. So all you Jews out there, if there's anyone who ever comes across this podcast, I'm also a Jew. I do have the blood of Ephraim in me, but my line of genealogy actually goes back to King David. I am a Jew. And I am a Jew who has accepted Yeshua as my Messiah. And I just want to put this out there for anybody who, you know, might think about this. And I've said it before. Amos said, surely the Lord God will do nothing except for who reveals the secrets to his servants and prophets. And it is by the mouth of two or three witnesses that every word is established. Jehovah sent many prophets to warn the people before Babylon took over. But according to you Jews, no prophets came before the Roman dispersion, diaspora, the destruction of the second temple. Would Jehovah allow your temple to be destroyed without sending you prophets? And who other than Jochanan ben Zechariah, the immerser, John the Baptist, son of Zechariah, the high priest? And who other than Yeshua of Nazarite? Who other than these two came to try to get the people to repent? These two prophets, eyewitness of Jehovah himself, a son of the only begotten of the Father, Yeshua, born of a virgin. In Genesis, we see that the seed of the woman shall crush Satan's head, or Hasatan's head. The seed of the woman, not the seed of man. A man gives seed to the woman so she can have children, right? Yeshua didn't have a father who was mortal. Right there in Genesis, we see a prophecy of the revelation of Yeshua and the virgin birth. And I know that the Jews want to say, well, in Isaiah chapter 53, it doesn't actually say that there will be Alma. It doesn't say that there will be a virgin that gives birth. But you know what? 400 years before Yeshua was born, Greek was the language of the land, and they translated the Hebrew scripture, the Tanakh, into Greek. And those wise rabbis and sages used the word virgin when speaking of the future coming virgin birth born Messiah of Israel. So when you want to quibble and complain about the Hebrew Isaiah, oh, that doesn't really mean virgin. It just means a young woman. And like, they make all kinds of, especially these guys from Jews, from Judaism, like Tovia Singer, which is just, I can't hardly listen to him. Like, somebody asks him a question and he talks in circles until he finally determines that he's answered the question when he really hasn't. You know, they're deceivers. And I actually have some respect for Michael Sobeck, but I don't think he understands that, you know, these Jews are trying to see Yeshua through the lens of apostate Christianity. You know, Catholicism, Catholic, Constantine hijacked the church. Anyway, continuing on, free people are happy people, but if people in bondage, physical or financial, are miserable, and we're in bondage today, people, you're serfs in the land. You know, a serf had to pay tribute to the lord of the land. Well, the lord of the land is the federal government and state governments, and you got to be a serf, pay tribute to them. Taxation can result in both kinds of bondage. No honest soul who loves his liberty will denounce or a just or fair tax from which everyone shares in its benefits. Neither would anyone reject a tax that protects their freedom. But conversely, they would totally despise a tax that is a waste or given to aliens, enemies, or used to destroy their freedom. Page 14. What would be worse than to use taxes to create a big brother beast that would bind a man's family in the chains of financial bondage and debt for many generations? What disgrace and sorrow an honest man suffers when he realizes that he pays tribute to the ruination, bondage, or destruction of his own nation and his own liberty. For these reasons, the good old Bible has clearly said amen to righteous and just taxes, but to hell with the bad ones. So anyway, the next time we come back, we are going to read The Century of Doctrinal Revisions, 1890 through 1990, and this looks really interesting, and that'll be on Sunday night at 11:30 p.m., give or take an hour, or 11 p.m., give or take an hour. So I will be driving on Sunday night, and I use my lunch break, 30 to 45 minutes, to do these readings. And that's the next time I will be on air. Let's check real quick to see if we have anybody in the studio. Once again, the guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. We have 90 seconds left on the live streaming portion of the radio program, and I'll be wrapping it up within the next 15. So it doesn't look like we have any callers, which is fine. It is nice to have callers, though, people. I do enjoy talking to people. In fact, I'll have to, I'm going to have to just break down and pay for the full 2-hour radio program. But let's read this real quick and see if we can get this Mormon Yeshiva thing done here. I do love reading Rob K's Mormon Yeshiva blog at blogspot.com/the Mormon Yeshiva. This is June 5th, 2018's blog post from the Mormon Yeshiva. Now, what's a yeshiva? That's a school, right? Sure. The Mormon Yeshiva, Tuesday, June 5th, 2018. Pathways of Prophetic Danger Along the Path. Who shall ascend into the mountain of Jehovah, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, Psalms chapter 24, verses 3 through 4. I got this lady in my ear that you guys can't hear, and she counts down like 90 seconds, letting me know to wrap up the live streaming, right? And then 60 seconds, and then 10 seconds. And then every time it comes on, it's like I'm trying to talk, and I'm trying to hear myself talk, but I can't because all I can hear, because I've got a full headset on, both ears covered, all I can hear is this woman saying 10 seconds, you know. Anyway, continuing on. Let me just see if we have anybody in the studio. Probably not. Yeah, nobody there. Let me refresh it and see what we can do here. Yeah, nobody in the studio. That's fine. Okay. Let me open up this tab here. I'm just reading it directly off the website. I do videos on YouTube reading these as well. But I'm at my mother's place, at her little cabin. And I'm just sitting in my minivan doing my radio show while my wife and kids sleep. God's gift and revelation are in direct proportion to the level of our spiritual maturity. To the extent that we resonate with heaven, heaven becomes a reality to us in the here and now. Reality, I think. I don't think that spells right. Rob, fix your words. Because of the fall, there are barriers of physical and spiritual noise in the souls of men and women. These veils or barriers are also referred to as in the Hebrew as the excuse me, klipot shells or barriers. Unlike Adam, we do not possess the celestial capabilities of the civilization of Adam possessed. Because of these barriers, the ancient schools of the prophets were well aware of these veils or barriers, and their training included instruction of the nature of these barriers and the method of entry through these veils. And it's interesting because it talks a lot about the schools of the prophets in the book of Lehi, the lost 116 pages, which I have. According to some writings, during the time of Israel, when the prophetic was manifest in great power and abundance, it was said that there were millions who gathered to enter into the life of the teledim, or students, of these schools of the prophets. At the same time, while there were true prophets to be found in abundance, there was also the reality of false prophets who sought power to get gain. Because of the danger that came from the result of institutional and false prophets, Jehovah declared to Moshe the death penalty for the false prophets, Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 through 6. In other words, Jehovah of Israel, the God of Israel, had no tolerance for those falsely claiming to speak in his name. The discernment between those legitimately sent from Jehovah and those who are not or not has been cult task. So basically to discern between the two. In order to discern between the two gods, God gave the scriptures to teach us the commandments and the covenant bounds whereon people can walk. At the same time, while the commandments can be strictly observed, there is still a chance that the person can be deceived even when his heart is in the right place, as there are forces that exist whose desire it is to keep men and women from bonding with God. And, you know, you can be a prophet And Joseph Smith said that if you fell, you would lose, you would be rejected or whatever, but you would remain a prophet. You know, God wants to speak to people, but you know what? Satan speaks to us more. He's always trying to give us revelation to get us off the path. And in the New Testament, the Brit Hadashah, it says that we need to learn to test the spirits, for many false spirits have gone out, many false prophets, because they're listening to the wrong spirits. And we talked about this in my radio program on Thursday night about how you test the spirits and how you learn to get revelation for yourself. And when you get revelation, you get confirmation of the Holy Spirit, you make sure that revelation is from God. Anyway, continuing, the true nature of evil is never experienced as devils with red horns and pitchforks. It is often experienced through those whose disposition is carnal, governed by the physical body, sensual, governed by the passions and emotions, and devilish, who are without Torah or law. The existence and power of the natural man and the adversary's ability to influence the natural man is experienced by all, from prophet to layperson, both old and young, both male and female. There are enough prophetic egomaniacs to go around in the world, in this world, just as there are many prophetic religious figures that don holy garb and who seek to exert dominion and control by demanding loyalty beyond reason to them and their respective churches and institutions. These are those who sincerely believe Jehovah has spoken to them, yet their fruits are the fruits of chaos, the breaking of God's commandments, and the supplanting of God's commandments with the commandments of men. Let me just say something. I just got to say this. So I believe that the Torah is applicable for today, and that the sacrificial stuff's all been fulfilled, but that the instructions given to us by Jehovah are still applicable. The Moedim, the holy days of Jehovah, the Shabbat, you know, all these things are still applicable. But in the book of Lehi, we learn that when King Josiah found the temple, or the Torah scrolls in the temple, that he actually added many vain and foolish things to Torah. And that we've got to get revelation for ourselves so we can know what true Torah is and not just be looking at the 613 laws that are in the Tanakh and saying, oh, you know, this is what Torah is. Anyway, I need to finish this real quick. I don't know where I'm at. I'm just going to start this. God's commandments with the commandments of men. There are words they draw near to God with their mouths, comparable to false advertising, while their actions are those of totalitarian control, secret combinations and ignoring of Jehovah's commandments, and indifference in upholding justice and mercy. The power of the false prophetic can be experienced individually as well as institutionally. Oh, I just wanted to say, okay, when God sends a prophet to you, he usually does it to warn the people and to teach the people. And a true prophet will help you learn to get revelation for yourself. In a Zion society, which we're preparing for, no man will say, do you know the Lord? For they all shall know him, from the least to the greatest, because God is no respecter of persons. And according to Numbers, Moshe, or Moses, said that God, or Jehovah, would that all his children were prophets and would have his spirit to be upon them. That is what a true prophet is. They teach the people how to get revelation for themselves. Continuing on with Rob K's. Here's the address for that if anybody wants to read this for themselves. And he's got years of good articles. I love this guy, and I love what he writes. He's a Jew who became a Mormon, kind of like me. Of course, I wasn't raised a Jew. I was raised a Gentile. I was in my 30s when I found out my grandmother was Jewish. No idea. Of course, she is a Christian. Her family converted to Christianity probably because of what happened to them, but in history, but they kept our, we have our genealogy. It goes back to Adam and Eve through King David, through Jesse, through all, it's awesome, right? My aunts have it. Anyway, continuing. The spirit that resides within men and women is powerful. All have the ability to ascend and to rend the veil that separates this world from the world ab worlds above. But in doing so, there is the possibility of being seduced by evil influences, both moral, mortal, and spiritual. In order for the students of the prophetic to ascend, they had to walk a path of correction and cleansing. The commandments of Jehovah serve to display the image or countenance of God that enable the prophetic students to separate the holy from the profane, the prophetic from the false prophetic, in order to perceive the true spiritual reality of Jehovah. So that was the MormonYeshiva.blogspot.com. Once again, MormonYeshiva.blogspot.com. We only have 3 minutes left on the radio program, but let me just say that God wants us to be believing as little children and to believe what you hear. To study it out to the best of your ability and to come to a conclusion about what you believe. The more time you spend with God in this way, the more time He'll spend with you. And to trust in Him enough so that you can go to Him, learn to get revelation and confirmation for yourself of the Holy Spirit. And be led by the correct interpretation of all scripture, which interpretation comes only by Him through the Holy Ghost, who will lead you to the truth of all things. And this is the only way we can know the correct interpretation of scripture. And we have to know that for ourselves, because if we just follow blindly, these leaders, these pastors and prophets, you're not going to ride into heaven on their coattails. You got to get revelation for yourself. Anyway, that's the end of the program pretty much. I need to just let it go with that. We'll be back on the Mormon Yeshiva, like I said, Sunday night, 11 o'clock-ish. As a truck driver, it's hard for me to find a place to park right at a specific time. So if I have to do it early, I'll do it early. If I have to do it later, I'll do it later. But I will schedule the program for 11:30 that night. You can also find me at facebook.com/LAZURUS1977. That's Lazarus1977. Or visit our page at the Church of the Living Messiah on Facebook. You can also find me at Zion's Redemption or Zion's Redemption Books. And you can find my old radio show at blogtalkradio.com/the kingdom of God or nothing. Once again, this is the Mormon Fundamentalist. I'm fundamentally Mormon. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Take care. Good night and Shabbat Shalom.